You're listening to Pastor Bill Surjack.
We're studying through the book of Genesis, and this morning we're in Genesis, the first chapter right at the very beginning, and beginning with verse 6 and go through verse 13. So hear now the word of God. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Thank God that he has not left us alone to know what he is like, but he's revealed himself in a way that we can understand by becoming a man in the person of Christ. And that revelation is accurately tamed for us. And this is Holy Word. Last week we talked about the way the Bible begins and the way the phrase could have been at the very beginning. Because it says the beginning of this chapter, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But as I mentioned last week, in the Hebrew, where the book of Genesis was originally written, there's no direct article there. So literally it would be in beginning. One of the ways that you can begin to think that that might be a significant step rather than just something that was omitted was that you would have to start thinking in terms of God being at the core, at the beginning, at the very start of everything. Now that requires us to change our thinking because that's not the way we were brought up to think in today's educational system. Because we were brought up to think in terms of our world as being eternal and our world as being infinite. And when you're starting to talk about God in the beginning creating, or God holding the world together, as it says in Colossians, that God is the force that holds the molecules of the world together, and without God doing it, the world would literally start to melt down and come apart. If you take this the way it says in Genesis, and you begin to think of God being the core of the universe, then you have to change the way you look at thinking. Because almost automatically, your default thought mode, the basic way that you go back to things, is to think in terms of the world being infinite and the world being eternal. And what this phrase is, if you believe it, you need to change your default mode. And so that you begin to start thinking in terms of God is the one who is eternal. And God is the one who holds everything together. The world doesn't exist on its own. And it wouldn't exist if God didn't hold it together. So instead of going back to the default point of the world is eternal and the world is always there, you go back to the point of God being eternal and God being the one who was always there. And he took the world from chaos and he makes order. The order is still there and he's still the one holding it together. Like if God decided today not to keep holding the world together, the world would literally melt down and fall apart. It would go back to chaos. The natural state of the world is chaos. Everything in the world goes to chaos unless somebody holds it together. Unless God holds the world together, the world will go back to the chaos that it was before in beginning. And the same type of thing is true even in our own lives. If nobody makes an effort to hold things together, if you don't do anything with your own life that you specifically work at doing, your life will revert back to chaos. And the natural state of the world is chaos. But God has established a certain baseline order that won't go away, so that the world won't disintegrate back into total chaos. And it's called the natural order of things. The natural order is just the way things will operate if nobody puts any extra effort into them. And the natural order is really a pretty severe order. Some people think that the natural order is kind of sweet and gentle and ideal. But in the natural order, foxes eat bunnies. The natural order is a severe place. It's the bottom line order that is there, that God puts there, and we don't have to go any further beyond that, but like that's the order that is there. I remember several years ago, I think it might have been in the 70s, there was this movie made called Jeremiah Johnson. And Jeremiah Johnson, it was set in the Old West, and Jeremiah Johnson decided to go out and live in the mountains. And he was going to survive living out in the mountains by himself. In the first winter, he almost died. He ran into this old mountain man who began to teach him the ways of the mountains and the ways that you have to deal with things if you're going to live that way. There was this wonderful conversation with this old guy and the young man, Jeremiah Johnson, who was staying in his cabin. And the old man just sort of said, you know, the mountains have got their ways. And you have to learn the ways of the mountains to be able to survive in it. And that's what the man did for Jeremiah Johnson. He taught him how to survive in the ways of the mountains, in the natural order. The natural order is the severe one. We still think in terms of we want to go back and live in the natural order. I think men are more susceptible to this than women, as men seem to want to go back to be able to survive in that natural order, particularly as long as they can bring beer with them in a cooler from the outside. From the other order, they would especially like to be able to go back and live within that natural order and show that they can survive within that. We can sometimes survive within that natural order. Some people can learn to do it. It's not easy, but you have to learn its ways. David said that if you put the apple into the ground, it would grow into a tree and it would replenish itself, and it will. But it's probably a little more to it than that. You have to learn how orchards operate. Chances are you're not going to see an apple quite as pretty as that if someone hasn't learned to deal with the natural order that is there and be able to allow it to grow. Now, we can't do it without God. In a certain sense, God has told us to put a certain kind of an order onto the universe, that we do have a certain area of dominion, and we can bring an order that is maybe a little easier to live in. Some people tend to try to idealize that natural order. And most of the people who idealize it are coming from a world where the order is already pretty firmly established, and it causes a certain safety to our world. A lot of young people in the 60s thought they were going to go back to nature and just be able to live in the goodness of the natural order. Most of them didn't make it. Some even today are still trying it. There was recently a man who was from California. He'd been living on the beach for quite a while, and he got it within himself, the idea that he was going to protect the grizzly bears in Alaska. He was going to go up and make a film to protect the grizzly bear, and he spent a couple summers doing that. And just recently, he found out, I guess in a way, he maybe got his wish because he became one with the grizzly bears because they ate him. They ate he and his girlfriend who was up there with him. Anybody who was familiar with the way the natural order operates wouldn't be surprised, because that's the way it is in that bottom line area of the natural order. God won't let things go any worse than that. We do have the opportunity to increase the order, to live in a more comfortable level of order. We have the chance to be able to live within what we call civilized order. And that's not a bad thing, although a lot of people seem to think so. We have the chance to be able to live in an order on our day in and day out basis that's a little bit easier to live in than just the straight natural order. How do we go about making that happen? How do we go about getting there? If you look at what we're talking about here, the passage that we just read, you can start seeing how God made very basic order. He made the waters above and the waters below. He made dry land and he made seas. And they're just basic order that he brought about there, then brought in vegetation. And you can see God making the order. You can also look at how he did it. Because in order to be able to have that kind of an order, probably the first thing that had to happen is that somewhere in God's mind, he had to envision what he had in mind, what he wanted to do. And then he had to speak the order into the world and into the universe. I think the situation that New Orleans has been, that's a good picture of what we're talking about this morning. Because to me, that was a city that had to revert back to chaos because of the chaotic destruction of a hurricane. And you had then a chaotic situation in the city. There are people in our world who like chaos, who like the world to be in a totally chaotic state. They don't like the order that is there in the world. And so they would maybe try to stop anyone who is trying to bring any kind of order. One of the first things that you would have to do to bring order into a chaotic situation like that would be for someone to imagine what order is. And in our world, we're somewhat civilized, so we have somewhat of an idea of the way most order happens in cities. So we can imagine what the order is, and then we would have to speak it with enough authority to be able to make it happen. Usually we depend upon the government to speak order into the chaos of our world. And it seemed like the local government there wasn't able to speak into the chaos with enough authority, and they needed the federal government to speak the word of order into it. And then you have to start rebuilding. You have to start building the things that are orderly. That's the way God did it. He spoke, and the very order of the world that we live in came into being because he could speak with that kind of authority. We have trouble being able to find people or know of anybody that can speak with that kind of authority when we go to start speaking order into chaotic situations. But God can. And that's what he does with our lives, too. It's not only that he speaks order into the world, into the universe, but he can speak order into our lives when we listen to it. Our lives can be totally chaotic. It feels like our lives are just totally out of control, and all we're doing is just trying to keep our head above water, and we're just trying to begin to survive. Into our lives, God can speak his order, just like he did in Genesis, as we listen to him. Maybe the first thing that God will say is, have a Sabbath day. Take one day out of a week and set it aside to worship me and to adore me. Let your order work from that. Our finances might be in total chaos, and God can say, give a tenth to me, to what I'm doing in the world, and I'll bring order to the rest of it. And as we begin to learn to listen to God's order, sometimes it's very quiet and very simple, like when we take the communion and we have a little bit of bread and a little bit of grape juice, and we remember how Jesus died for our sins and how we can become new people in him. And that then can begin to flow in a new order into our lives, an order that's based on what God has said. So we begin to do things not in the chaotic structure of doing whatever you feel like doing, but that we begin to build an order into our own lives, an order that comes from the Word of God and what God has said.